to the Wild Woman Podcast. On this podcast, I bring to surface the conversations that we have in private about the outdoor community. My hope is that by sharing these challenging topics, I can break the ice, promote positive change, and empower people to be more informed, aware, and intentional with their actions. I'm your host, Wild Woman Becca. I'm an adventure, life coach, and whitewater kayak instructor based out of Asheville, North Carolina. I specialize in empowering outdoor athletes and enthusiasts like climbers, paddlers, mountain bikers, and hikers to overcome the mental side of adventure so that you can maximize your energy, cultivate healthier relationships, and achieve genuine embodiment both in the outdoors and in life. If you're someone who struggles with fear of falling while climbing, feeling like a burden when you're swimming out of your kayak, if you're self-conscious in the back of a group of hikers, or anything similar, you've stumbled upon the perfect place. It's my mission to help folks like you own your shit, the good, the bad, and the in-between. On this podcast, our motto is to live playfully, abundantly, and intentionally. We are here for the people. Welcome yourself home. You're a wild woman now. If you're ready to start owning your shit, I invite you to grab the resource packet from my website, wildwomanbecca.com/ownyourshit. It's totally free and it contains 9 simple tips to own your shit today. Plus, I guide you through a sequence of 9 journal prompts to identify exactly what you want, how to actually get yourself to do it, and why you haven't started already. Again, that's wildwomanbecca.com/ownyourshit. There's literally nothing to lose. Press pause, get that packet right now. Today, I want to talk about the different seasons of paddling and what we do during the different physical seasons, how we can use them metaphorically, and kind of like the different things that happen during the different seasons, like spring, fall, summer, winter, and specifically talk about them in the Southeast for paddling and especially through the lens of kayaking, because that's what I know best. And after I go through kind of all of the different seasons, then I wanted to talk about the different types of kayaks that are out right now, and just kind of go over the different things that they are used for and like why you would want to have multiple kayaks. People think it's crazy when I say that I have like 10 kayaks. So I wanted to kind of justify my 10 purchases. just kidding, but also not. Talk about like the different types of kayaks, because it's fun to talk about gear. So I'm really excited about today's episode. I like to think about my life in seasons as like a cycle through my menstrual cycle. And so I think breaking it down through the seasons of the weather cycle is super helpful as well. So I'm excited to talk about it from a paddling cycle now too. So I wanted to start with the spring because that's what time of year it is right now. And in the spring, I associate it with being a more rainy season. We're leaving the winter, which I'll talk about later, which was like creeking season for kayakers. So spring is a more rainy season, still not necessarily having as many like dam releases, but we're starting to get into some of the dam releases that come with the summer. There's a few festivals and releases like the Tallulah River, and the Ocoee starts releasing, and there are some festivals like the Nantahala Open Festival. And I think of this time as like a preparation, a great time to like refine your roles, both in the pool or if it's warm enough, starting to go outside with the roles, and just like setting goals and starting to create plans for the summer season, which is like one of the best times to learn in paddling because it's so low consequence with the warmer water. I feel like the spring is also a time of strengthening and getting ready for the summer season. Yeah. Getting ready for the summer season. I think in life, the spring is a time of also creating goals and like cleaning out the things that we no longer need, finishing up with that and like cleaning maybe not necessarily cleaning out the things we no longer need, but like cleaning and like prepping for the heat of the summer. So this would be a time where you could like go through your gear shed and make sure you have all the equipment that you want. This is a common time when people buy new boats, and this is a great time to sell your old boats because people are wanting to buy their boats. This is a great time to refresh your first aid kit. Make sure that you have all of the safety gear that you want to have on you during the summer when it's like popular. And like these are all good things to do regularly. Always make sure you have a good first aid kit. Always make sure you have the safety gear. But just kind of, I use the spring as like a refresh time to make sure that my summer equipment is like tip-top shape. Spring is also the time where I start to schedule in instruction courses that I want to take. I'm signed up for a role training where I'm going to spend 8 hours working on how to teach your roles, which I'm so stoked about. I really love teaching roles and I feel like I'm pretty good at it already. And I'm so stoked to come into this like intensive training specifically on roles for 8 hours straight with multiple other instructors. And yeah, it's going to be really fun. So I'm taking instruction. I'm redoing my swift water rescue skills and taking those courses again. So the spring is like a great time to refresh on your skills, especially as a more advanced paddler, because you probably already have like a dry suit and are comfortable with colder water, because the spring still does have pretty cold water, even though the weather, sometimes the outdoor temperature is starting to warm up. The next season to naturally move into would be the summer. You guessed it. After spring, we've got summer. Summer is a time where there are a lot of like class 2-3 releases. The Akoi starts releasing regularly. The Takasiji releases. The Nanahala releases. The Green River releases. This is like in the Southeast, a sun's out, guns out vibe. You no longer need your dry suit for most rivers. The Nanahala is still really cold, but you know, no longer would need a dry suit, so it's way more accessible. And you can get that tan on, but make sure you wear sunscreen. And this is a time where a lot of people take smaller boats out, so there's slicey boats and play boats and getting comfortable in the play hole at the Nanahala Outdoor Center. This is a great time to learn to whitewater kayak because you need less gear and because there are a ton of instructors out and because the releases on the easier runs, the class 2-3 runs, are going regularly, so it's really predictable. You're not dependent on rain. This is a really playful time of year. And it feels really good to get in the water. It's just like naturally we're called to going to the river during the summer. I feel like people want to get wet. Hashtag wet wild woman. The summer is also a popular time for people to plan their multi-day expeditions. It's like one of the most popular times to go to the Grand Canyon. And on the salmon trips in Idaho and all kinds of multi-day river trips. They're really fun in the summer. So that's kind of like the paddling vibe for the summer. I feel like the life vibe for the summer alongside with paddling would be, this is a great time to take lessons. This is a great time to go to the lake and do practice sessions, practice rolling, practice play boating. I love going to flat water for some play sessions. That is like how I really got honed in on my stern squirts, and my cartwheels are in flat water. So don't sleep on the flat water. That is like, I feel like that's where I really got good at play boating. This is also a great time of year for evening paddles. You can go attaining on flat water, which means paddling upstream. You could also go to the lake. You can do things after work. You could do your local run after work because it gets dark a lot later. So this is also, if you are skilled for it and comfortable with it, this would be a good time of year to do night paddles. Again, if you have the skills for it and you feel comfortable with it and you feel like you are able to do it safely, night paddles are a really cool experience, especially on full moons. And the summer is the time to do it because it's warm enough. Don't do that in the winter. It's so cold. This is a time of year where there's a lot of easier water running. I feel like the most challenging runs in the area typically are rain-fed, and the summer doesn't have, while it might rain every day, the trees are kind of soaking up all of the juice from the rain, so it's not making it into the rivers. So a lot of the harder runs are not running, so this tends to be a time of year in the Southeast where we run easier whitewater and we take smaller boats out because we're playing and intentionally going upside down more often. And obvious reminders for the summer, this is really important to hydrate and drink your electrolytes, some salts and potassium and all the minerals, and don't forget to wear sunscreen. I know we all want that tan, that glowing skin, but sunscreen is super important. Make sure you put it on like right when you get to the river instead of after you put all your gear on. Like, put the sunscreen on first so it has time to absorb before you wipe it all off as soon as you get in the river. So that's the summer vibe. The fall vibe, a very fun time in the Southeast because there are a ton of festivals and community events. I feel like the summer is where you meet a lot of new people. And then in the fall, we get to like nourish those, nourish and nurture those relationships that we formed through all of the festivals. Pretty much every weekend, there is a festival or a race or some sort of community gathering within the paddling community. And so I think of this time as very community focused. If you are a more advanced paddler, then, I mean, you probably already know this, but there's a ton of races, the Russell Fork race, the Green race, I think the Golly race for sure. I think there's a new race. So there's a lot of races in the fall. And there are also some more releases, like more advanced releases in the fall and some in the spring with like Tallulah and Chioa. I feel like it's less focused on paddling and more focused on the community aspect. So I think that's one of the reasons why I love this time of year with the hashtag here for the people vibe that I've got going on. It's a really fun time to build up your community and really like form deeper friendships because you're spending time both on the river and off the river. The fall is also so gorgeous in the Southeast with the leaves changing. It's a really, really great time full of gratitude. The fall is also a really great time to step it up, especially if you are like a class 3 paddler stepping it up into class 4. The fall is your season because you've had the spring of slightly warmer weather, you've had the summer of like play boating, very warm weather, and then the fall is still like tends to have warmer water. Even if the air temperature is going down, and it has a bunch of releases that are great for stepping it up. And yeah, and you've been paddling for now like 6 months consistently, and so you're all like sharp with your skills. So fall is a great time to step it up for all of those reasons. I feel like the fall in general in relation to paddling is a time of socializing. It's a great time to volunteer through all of the paddling festivals. So even if you're not at the skill level of the river that is hosting the festival, you can volunteer for the festival. You can a lot of times hike in and watch the races, and you can socialize and get to know the community that way. This is also, I feel like with the leaves falling and the beauty of the fall, a great time to reflect and reflect on how your summer season went. Start to create new goals for the following year if you'd like to, or really just focusing on how this past season went and what you want to do better in the future or differently in the future. The final season is the winter. And I think of the winter in the Southeast as creaking season. It's the most advanced season of paddling. And what I mean by creaking season is you're typically running rivers that are higher class. Well, there are some rivers that are still, I guess it doesn't have to be higher class, because there are plenty of creeks in the area that are not as commonly run, but they still exist, that are class 2, class 3. And I would consider them creeks because they're smaller volume, and I definitely wouldn't call them a river. But typically you associate creaking season with like class 4 or 5 runs that are rain fed. So you're having to chase the rain when it like rains. Do you want it to like rain a bunch, or just the right amount? And then you're checking the online gauges or checking the physical gauges at the river, to see if it's the proper level. And yeah, it's a really fun, spontaneous time of year for paddling. And it's also way more hazardous because of the physical, like the literal temperature outside. So you should definitely have a dry suit or like some serious heavy duty wetsuits if you are going to be paddling in the winter. And just make sure that you are cautious about the temperature that you're going out so that you don't get hypothermia. So you want to make sure that you're prepared, and swimming is like definitely higher risk because of the temperature, and because of the nature of creeks being a little bit more remote typically. So this is a more serious time of year to paddle, but it is like a really fun time of year to paddle, especially as you get into like class 3 plus, class 4 or 5 stuff. Yeah, this is also a really great time, surprisingly, for multi-day trips. All of my Grand Canyon trips have been in the winter. I'm going on another one this winter, and it tends to be a bit, it's the harshest time to go, for sure. But it's also like the easiest time to win a permit, because I think the least amount of people put in for them at that time of year. So yeah, multi-day trips, great time for those. Obviously, I think, well, maybe not obviously, but the common times, I feel like the summer is the most popular time to go because it's really fun to go in the warm season. It's the most predictable season. But the fall and the spring tend to be more moderate weather probably, but they do have less predictability. So you might have to bring a dry suit and your warm weather stuff. You never know if you're going to get a 95 degree day or a 60 degree day or a 30 degree day. But so back to the winter. That's when I have done all of my multi-day trips, and I find it really fun. But this can also be a time of year where you take a break from paddling and you focus on refining your cruise and like recovering and being cozy and building up your relationships off the river, having social events and stuff that don't relate to physically being on the water. I know a lot of paddlers and other outdoor enthusiasts who get rock climbing memberships in the winter because it's something you can do inside that still feels adventurous, but isn't really cold. And this is also a like symbolic time to release what you don't need anymore. This is a good time to go through your gear again and put it into piles to sell in the spring, because the spring is when people are buying stuff. So I think the winter has like really, really great potential for recovery and for like setting yourself up for success in the future. And this is a popular time for people to go to the pools for roll sessions and like really work on their rolls too. Yeah. So that's kind of all of the 4 different seasons and like the paddling specific, and then like kind of the life related to paddling. So that's kind of it for talking about the different seasons. And now I'm going to transition into talking about the different kayaks. And so as some of you might know, I've recently joined Team Dagger, so I figured I would go through Dagger's website and talk about each of the kayaks that they have out right now. When I talk about kayaks, I tend to go from smallest to biggest, generally. So I'm going to start with the Jitsu that they have out, which is a playboat. So it's got volume in the front and the back, but it's really short. The Jitsu 5.9 is, the Jitsu 5.9 is 5 feet, 9.5 inches. So that's pretty short, as you'll realize, like, later on as we get into the other boats. It's got a volume of 57 gallons. And the playboat is designed for, it's very, very, very maneuverable. It turns really quickly, really easily. It's going to be a harder boat to, like, go straight in a straight line with. And it's really not necessarily designed for downstream. It's more for playing in features, like going to the NOC play hole and, like, doing tricks in the play hole. So that's like the smallest boat. That's what a playboat is designed for. More freestyle, trick kind of kayaking. The next smallest boat that they have is the Nova. And so the Nova is a full slice. And what I mean by full slice is that it's relatively long still. It's 7 feet, 4 inches. So it's a whole foot and some change longer than the Jitsu. And it's called a full slice because it has, like, kind of a squished front and a squished back, so that you can still do tricks in it. But it's more designed for downriver play compared to playing in a hole. Not to say that you can't take a playboat downriver or you can't put a full slice into a hole. You totally can. I have done both before. But that's, like, kind of more the common use for it. The Nova has a bigger version that's called the Supernova. And basically the difference is just the volume, and they're basically the same boat, just like a size small and a size large. There would be times that, like, a smaller paddler would want a bigger full slice. I used to own a big full slice, and I liked to take it on bigger water rivers that I, like, wanted more volume, but I also wanted to be able to play in. But it's going to be more challenging to play if the boat is bigger. So people tend to try to squeeze themselves down into the smallest full slice that they can possibly fit in. Yeah. So that's the full slice and the playboat. The next smallest boat is the Rewind. And the small Rewind is 8 feet, 9 inches. So significantly bigger or longer than the Nova is. And it's a half slice, so it has that slicey stern. The back of it is still, like, quote-unquote squished, but the front of it has more volume, so this makes it still playful, a little bit more comfortable, and feels like a little safer to be playing downstream in. So people tend to take this down the river, and it also surfs really great in a hole or in a wave, and this is my personal favorite kayak. I am obsessed with the Rewind. I think that it is the best, hands down the best boat to bring down the Grand Canyon if you're going on a raft-supported trip. Yeah, I love me some Rewinds action. And it has a great hashtag be kind, please rewind. Doesn't get better than that, right? Anyway, I love the Rewind, if you couldn't tell. It's really playful. It's really comfortable. It's great for going downstream. It's a great boat. The next biggest boat is the, I guess that would be the Code. And so the code is a creek boat. It does not have any of that sliciness. It is full volume in the front, full volume in the back. It's 100 inches, so it's actually a little bit shorter than the Rewind, which was 105 inches. So it's 8 feet and 0.33 feet. So around 8 feet and, let's see, 0.33. 8 feet and 4 inches, approximately. So a little bit shorter than the Rewind, but has a lot more volume in the front and in the back. And this is the small code because I did the small Rewind. This boat is going to be way more stable than the Rewind, and it boofs like a dream. It goes over holes and features so well. It's going to be less maneuverable because it's more boat to move around, even though it's shorter. Yeah, it's another great river runner. I would take this down bigger rapids, bigger runs, things I'm not necessarily feeling as stable on. The next smallest or biggest boat, I guess, is the Phantom, which was designed as a creek boating and racing boat. So it still fits in the short class of racing kayaks. It's under 9 feet. It's just barely under 9 feet at 107 inches. It, I believe, comes in just one size compared to the code, which comes in three. And it's like a higher volume, longer creek boat. It's designed to go faster, and it's more responsive than the code. But the volume, it has more volume. So yeah, it's very similar in description to the code, but it is longer. Yeah, and then the next longest boat that they make is a longboat, which is kind of a funny name of category for a boat. But the longboat that they have out right now is the Vanguard. They used to have the Green Boat, which was named after the Green River and the Green Race, which is in Saluda, North Carolina, near where I live. And so the longboat is 12 feet long, making it significantly longer than the other boats. And the length makes it a bit harder to maneuver in general. It's a high performance, more advanced kayak. Typically, a longboat is one of the last kayaks that a person will buy to add to their fleet. And it's designed for racing and going fast. So the extra length of the kayak makes it go faster when you're going straight. If you get turned off course, it is challenging to turn it back. Hence why I'm saying that it's a more advanced kayak. And so that's all of the whitewater kayaks that Dagger has out right now. And I feel like it might be worth mentioning, as we went through all of the different seasons, I mentioned some of the boats that we would take. So during the spring season, I am most likely in my Rewind or in my Code. And in the summer season, I'm most likely in my Rewind, or I love teaching out of my Rewind. It's going to be obvious that I love my Rewind. In the summer, I'm in my Rewind, or I'm in the Nova, or another full slice. In the fall, I am probably in a longboat. I have a green boat, not the new Vanguard. And fall, I might also be in my Rewind and might also be in the Code. And then in the winter, or the Indra, which is coming out really soon. And then in the winter, I am in probably mostly in the Code or the Indra, maybe also in the longboat, the green boat, and occasionally in the Rewind. If I'm going down the Grand Canyon, probably in the Rewind or in a raft. Yeah. And so that's kind of a wrap on today's episode, and hope it was informative. Hope it was informative and Let me know if you're interested in any other episode topics. I'm excited to get into the summer season and getting more hashtag wet, wild, and woman. If you're listening to this in real time, I still have some space available in my Whitewater Kayak Construction programs. I'm super excited to be offering multiple different programs. And if you're interested, reach out to me at rplooner@gmail.com and we will get you on the books. Cool. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Check out the show notes for more information, links from the episode, and about how to get in touch. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, rate it by clicking the three dots and then rate show. You can also talk about these topics in your circle and share this podcast as a resource. I put out a ton of free content from the monthly virtual live workshops to customized interactive worksheets based on people responses to my market research survey. The best way to stay in the loop is by joining my email list via my website, wildwomanbecca.com. You can also reach out to me directly at rplooner@gmail.com. All of the links to contact me are in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. See you next time, Wild Woman.